is the rest of his life. It literally covers the time from the end of the battle until he steps into eternity. And it is not a pleasant chapter. A lot of things go wrong. A lot of mistakes are made, and they are costly mistakes. And if you read the last part of this chapter, it's almost alarming that after such a great victory, there'd be so much trouble. Now, please listen to what I'm about to say. All of us are susceptible. All of us have the potential to believe the devil's lies. It looks like, just like I was talking about teenagers earlier, it looks like if we would not do what God said, that we would be better off, or we'd be happier, or our life would go better. That's what's happening here. If you look at these people, they've all made decisions, or they're making decisions in some cases, and they thought those decisions were the best. The trouble is, they went against God's will, and they paid the price. And it's a high price. I might say to myself, you know, sin, surely a little sin isn't going to cause a problem. That's what these people said. I'll give you an example, and we'll look at the rest of this next week. Gideon had 70 sons. He had several wives, and by those wives, he had 70 sons. But that wasn't quite enough, and he decided to have a concubine and have one son by that concubine. And next week, you'll see what that son does. That one son, that one decision, I just want that little bit more. I want that sin. That sin would make me happy. It cost him 70 sons. That's the way sin works. Now, we all, if we're not careful, we'll believe the devil's lie. Oh, my sin won't cost like that, Pastor. Well, that's what these people thought. These are costly mistakes we're going to see. And it shouldn't have had to be that way. They just won the victory. It could have been a happy chapter. But look at what you see in this chapter. For example, in verse 12, it talks about the enemy. They were discomfited. That means they were defeated. It talks about thorns and briars teaching the men in verse 16 over a decision that they had made. In verse 17, a tower is torn down, and it's the idea there is to set some people back. That's unpleasant. Talks about people being slain in verse 18, and talks about somebody being slain in verse 20. In verse 21, there's death, there's defeat, there's discomfort. All these things that you see in chapter 8 because of the decisions that people made. Please, please, please hear me when I say, God's right. Amen. This book is right. Folks, the wages of sin is death. Say, not my sin. Yeah, the wages of sin is death. Say, well, it won't be that bad. That's what these people said. And let me just, I cannot possibly read the rest of the chapter for the sake of time. So let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start, and then I'm going to stop somewhere right there in the middle and have a word of prayer. We're going to begin in verse 12, which is right at the tail end of the battle when these two kings have fled. And we'll begin reading there in verse 12. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. The Bible says in Judges 8:12, "And when Zebah and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zebah and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, Behold, Zebah and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. He beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. Then said he unto Ziba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, that's Gideon speaking now, he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Then Ziba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Ziba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. I got to keep reading a little further. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Let's just stop there and have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you that we have the word of God. Lord, words here that are encouraging to us, but also words of caution. And as we continue reading in the chapter, Lord, we see some decisions that some people made that cost them some things. Gideon's decision to have a concubine, his decision to make a golden ephod, the decisions that we've already read about the men of Succoth and Penuel that wouldn't help. And Lord, I just pray tonight you'd help us to all realize that there are consequences for our decisions. And you've given us the word of God to guide our decisions. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would work in each person here. Lord, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I cannot do that, but you can. And I pray, young and old, that we would understand what you have for us tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. There's two or three really good messages in this chapter. That verse 21 is a tremendous one. As the man is, so is his strength. It's more of a topical message. But I just want to show you the mistakes that were made here and the cost of them. Of course, the enemy had opposed God's people, and it cost them their lives. The kings, they died as well. Gideon made the mistake of choosing this golden ephod that we haven't quite read about yet, and that cost him some discomfort. And then the concubine cost him his family. And then the amazing thing, after all the things we've seen in Judges, the minute Gideon dies, Israel turns back to their idols. And of course, that's going to cost them as we continue reading later on. And you see a digression in Judges. You'd think people would learn, wouldn't you? Well, you'd think we would learn. I hope we do. And when you do, praise the Lord. You know, God is not out to get you. Can I say it that way? This is a little bit of a departure here, but just think about that for a minute. God loves you. He sent his son to die and pay for your sins. And when you choose to do what's right, that is sort of like, this is, I think, a decent illustration. Today, when I gave the algebra students their examination, I didn't want them to fail. I didn't want any of them to fail. In fact, I would like it if all of them would get a 100. And we have covered the concepts over and over and over. I feel like I've got this stuff memorized. Why don't they? You know, and I want them to do well. And when they just take a step and say, Pastor, can you help me? I love helping them. I love seeing them take steps forward and do what's right. And when they won't, when they just stand back and just kind of sit there and don't try, even then I'm thinking, what can I do to get their attention? God works with us a whole lot like that. He really wants us to have a good life. Amen. He really wants us to have a good life. We have some medical professionals here. They will tell you, don't drink poison. But Pastor, it tastes good. I know. They want you to have a good life. The Lord says, don't indulge in sin. Don't partake of sin. It's going to hurt. It's going to cost you something. I won't beat this horse to death, hopefully, but this thing with the concubine is just amazing to me. This is not a happy portion of the Bible. Judges 8 and Judges 9, after the victory, there's suffering, there's murder, there's defeat, there's death. And it's unnecessary. But when we, folks, our decisions have consequences. And we, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. We say, oh, that won't happen. Folks, our decisions have consequences. God didn't write this book just in case. He wrote this book because. Amen? Let me just show you a few things. It's, I haven't got time to develop the outline hardly at all. But I'll show you this little four-point outline. We'll be real fast. In verses 12 through 21, there's the death and destruction of Gideon's enemies. And I've read you those verses already about the thorns and briars and the tower beaten down and the people that were slain. And folks, I just want you to know something. The people that chose to be God's enemies, they are going to be defeated. There is a place called hell. There is a lake of fire. There is a judgment. There is an eternity. And it's horrifying to think that there are going to be innumerable people in eternity that heard the gospel and rejected it, and that could have sought God and chose not to, and could have repented of their sins and trusted Christ, and they said, no, I don't want that, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. They made that decision, and there is a consequence. And I believe, without developing this thought too much, the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They had a chance to make a decision, and how that develops, I just haven't got time for right now. We've talked about that before. The enemies of Israel are slain. The two kings are slain. And then there's that group of people that were God's people that chose not to help. And we read part of that story right there. If you weren't here last week or if you forgot, what happened was when Gideon was pursuing the enemy, he asked some people to help. And it wasn't a great request. It was, hey, could we have some bread? Could you give us some food? We're chasing the enemy. Would you be willing to help us? And their answer was, well, you know, you haven't won yet. And we don't want to take any chances because if you don't win, then the enemy might be mad at us. And Gideon reminded them, if I do win, I'm going to be mad at you. Poor language, but that's what happened. I'm going to be angry with you. And sure enough, he came back and he gave those men the consequences of their decisions. Aren't you glad you live in a day of grace? But folks, there are consequences. Listen, if a man is, the Bible says that the span of our life is 70, or by reason of strength, perhaps 80. I know some folks live longer than that, but not a lot. And I know this, if you're 60 years old, like I'm about 60 years old, I'm at least 3/4 of the way there, chances are. And God gave me the years He gave me to use, so I could be entertained and have a good time and take it easy and ignore everybody and just enjoy it, take care of myself. No, God gave me my life to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to ask ourselves the question, am I glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ? And when I'm not, something needs to change. Well, it doesn't matter, Pastor. Yes, it matters. Mistakes have costs. And so these people, they had a chance to be on the right side. They had a chance to help. And it wouldn't have been that hard. Just give the folks some bread. No, we don't want to take any chances. The enemy might come back and hurt us. Folks, choose God's side. I read the end of the book. He wins. Amen? So there's the death and the destruction. And it's because they chose to take the wrong side. And they were defeated. And then in verse 22 to 27, I'm using the D here tonight. There's a deferral and a desire that Gideon expresses. And I'm just going to mention the first of those. The people asked, they said to Gideon, we want you to rule over us. After all, you defeated the Midianites. Now, again, I just remind you how fickle they were, because it says in verse 35, after Gideon was dead, they forgot about him and his house. They didn't show kindness to him, etc. But over here where they ask him to rule, Gideon said a very wise thing. He deferred. He said, no, I'm not going to rule over you. God's going to rule over you. Amen? I'm just going to say it. Is God ruling over us? Is God the ruler in your life? Are the decisions you're making coming from God, or are they coming from somewhere else? Amen? They need to come from God, don't they? I think Greg's devotion kind of got this all started today. He was talking about a king that was very close to God. He made a mistake and it cost him his life. We were debating about why he made that mistake, and I'm not going to go there right now, but I do know this, mistakes have consequences. And folks, how many lives do you have? You got one. You say, Pastor, if I could go back and live it again, that's not the way it works. You got one life. You got one Bible. It tells you what you need to know. You say, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm more important than that. You're going to pay the price for that. It's just, and God grieves God, but that's what happens. So he says, you need to let the Lord rule you. I'm not going to do it. And so then in verse 24, he makes a request of them. And he asked them if they would give him the gold that came from the enemy, the earrings and those sorts of things. And I just did a little research today. He made an ephod out of this in verse 27. It was about 38 pounds of gold that he collected. It's worth about $500,000 in today's value. Wouldn't have been worth that much back then. They had more sense than we do. But collected a large quantity of money, made a golden ephod, and what good was that thing? It was just trouble. And what does the Bible say as a result? It says in verse 27, he put it in his city, and all Israel went thither, a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Just a quick thought. It would have been better. He'd have been better off not getting that, wouldn't he? Say, hey, at Gideon's house, there's a golden ephod. So what? What good is this thing? Do you wear it around the house when you do chores or what? No. You put it on display and invite the neighbors over and say, hey, come have dinner. I'll show you the ephod. What's the point? You know, sometimes we're better off not having things, aren't we? Say, Pastor, if I had... Now, this is clear. Gideon thought, if I had that, I would be happier. It didn't work out that way, did it? It was just the opposite. Sometimes we say to ourselves, if I had that, I'd be happy. And we go after it. I want that. And we're working for it. And we're pushing things out of the way that God wants in our life so we can have it. And we get there, and we're not happy. How about that? God was right. It's a costly mistake he made. And it cost him a lot of contentment. And it cost Israel some trouble as well. Then in verses 28 to 32, we have the end of his life. There are his descendants and his death. And I'll show you something here. He lives in Ophrah. And I didn't look the geography up on this, but he goes to this place called Succoth and he takes a concubine. But anyway, Midian was subdued in verse 28. Gideon, in verse 29, dwelt in his own house. He had 70 sons, for he had many wives. Verse 31, and... Now, if you were to ask Gideon, he'd tell you, I wish this hadn't happened. But, and his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. That little sin of going out and being with a woman that wasn't his wife and having a child probably didn't seem like a big deal. It will be in chapter 9. Because this man is going to kill the other 70. That little sin became a big problem, didn't it? You be careful, young person. You be careful, older person. You be careful. That little sin can become a big problem. Sin has a way of sprouting and making trees, doesn't it? So then, in verse 33, it came to pass, Gideon died. Well, he died in verse 32. Gideon, the son of Joash, died in his good old age, was buried in the sepulcher of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Abiezerites, and he's with the Lord for all eternity now. Amen? Not necessarily then, but that's another story. But anyway, his life is over. I just want to ask you the question. Do you think he'd like to go back and change a few things that he did? The concubine was a problem. The ephod was a problem. Folks, wouldn't it have been better just to listen to God and not do it to begin with? We're going to step into eternity, and I understand the judgment seat of Christ, and that doesn't scare some people. It doesn't intimidate or impress some people. But wouldn't you hate to think for all eternity, you know, if I hadn't have done that, I could have brought a lot more glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I could have raised godly children. I could have had a great whatever. Wouldn't it be better if we just listened to what God had to say? Amen? And Gideon's life is over. He can't change things now. So in verse 33 to 35, we have his departure and then the denial of Gideon by his nation. In verse 33, it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. I did a little research on Balaam and Baal-berith, and I started to tell you about them. But you know, the truth of the matter is, they're not worth talking about. They're false gods. They're Phoenician gods, if that makes any difference. And they are male deities, so what? They're fiction. And here's what that tells me. The minute Gideon was off the picture, Israel took off after these false gods. Where was their heart? It wasn't where it ought to be, was it? It wasn't where it should have been. Verse 34, the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God. We have a way of reading a verse in the Bible, and we'll see a little phrase like that, and we'll think, okay, do you know that's the problem? In order for us to sin, we got to forget about God, don't we? Amen? You don't sit there and think, oh, I hope God's watching me while I do this, or I hope God's watching me while I think this, or I hope God's watching me while I disobey him. No, you forget about God, and that's when you disobey. That's why some people don't like to go to church. It reminds them of God. That's why people don't like to have devotions. It reminds them of God. That's why Brother Mendez is Mr. Devotion in our church. He wants folks to be thinking about God. Young person, if you're thinking about God, then the sin is going to be a whole lot more of what it is, which is bad, which is painful, which is not what God wants. It's going to be more real to you what God wants if you're thinking about him. But they forgot about God. They didn't remember the Lord. And then just in case you forgot, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies in every side? They forgot what God had done to them. Do we remember what God's done for us? You saved? Now that's a start. What about all the things God's given you? Oh, I'm not happy with those, Pastor. I want something else. Oh, boy. Yeah, uh-oh. That's a problem, isn't it? Now, you know, if you think I'm trying to pick on somebody, I'm not. This is just everybody. I've seen this kind of people throughout my entire ministry that have these symptoms. They got this notion that something that they see, that they want, that God doesn't want them to have, is more important, and they set their eyes on it, and they pay a price. And that's what Gideon did, and that's what Israel did. And we'll finish the passage, and we'll be done. It says in verse 34, they didn't remember the Lord, they didn't, even though he delivered them. In verse 35, neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you a question. First of all, what has the Lord done for you? What has he given you? What has the Lord done for you? You couldn't even complete the list in the time allowed. Our salvation, our family, our friends, our church, our children, our health. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Do you know you could have been born in a third world country where you didn't ever hear the gospel? You could have been born in a third world country where you worked from sun up and sundown just to gather enough food to make it till the next day. We are so wealthy. We are so well provided for in this nation, and yet we're one of the most dissatisfied people alive. Can I ask you this question? Do you appreciate what God's done for you? Do you appreciate it enough to listen to him? To do what he asks you to do? Amen? And then can I ask a second question now? We know the Lord has done things for us. What about people that have done things for us? Now, I'm just exercising myself in this regard, and I'm thinking, okay, who are the people that have really been that have really loved me and been a blessing to me in my life? I think of my parents right away. That's one of the dangers of the end times, that children don't love their parents. If you're here today and your parents are still alive, even if they're not saved, you owe them a debt. And if they're saved, you owe them a great debt, a greater debt. Who else should we remember? Our spouse? People that have taught us the things of the Lord? Perhaps friends and loved ones that cared about us? Most of you here tonight, I can tell you, I'm sure that there are other church members that are praying for you in your situation. I know, because a lot of the times they tell me about it. Just like we pray for folks that aren't here tonight, we pray for one another. And it's not as if it's the biggest thing, but at the end of the chapter, God just reminds us, you know, these people that just ran off to the idols the minute Gideon was gone, they didn't even appreciate what God did for them, and they didn't appreciate what Gideon did for them enough to show him any regard, to do something, for example, for his family. They just forgot about him. Folks, that's a shame, amen? Amen? I think it would be appropriate for us to say, after all God has done for us, He bought us with a price. We owe Him. We ought to love Him, but we owe Him everything. And I think it would be safe to say that the same, now this is the key, and I'm done here, the very same people that forgot about God forgot about the people around them as well, like Gideon, because it was all about them. We're going to do what we want. That's the great trouble in our society today. It's why people won't be faithful to churches. It's why people won't serve the Lord or even pay attention to the Lord, because they're thinking about themselves. And I just tell you real plainly, if you'll put God first, God can take better care of you than you can take care of you. And He won't make the mistakes that you'll make.